It's the Metal Enema on Solar Fall Radio. I am the Sick Undertaker.
And I am Slufabornus Apicac. Hack.
We are both sick. I think I might
this
have...
This is the 666 show.
666 show. On the eve of Sucks by Sucks West here in
Ass
Austin.
Ass by asshole.
Yeah. Actually, we'll be in the thick of it when you're hearing this. So it's going to be a lot of... a lot of those red plastic cups with the white liner in them. I don't know, those party cups, the to-go cups as they call them everywhere, or maybe not.
Oh, like solo cups?
Yeah, solo cups. Yeah, it's going to be solo cups everywhere and lots of shitheads with. South by Southwest these days is kind of like Mardi Gras, except instead of beads, you have a laminate.
For those of you who aren't from here, which most of you aren't from here, South by Southwest is a big music festival that goes across about 5 days where several thousand bands and hipsters and record industry people and movie industry people show up
and all blow each other.
Yeah, and every year it's gotten more expensive and it's gotten more bloated with more bands that you just don't give a shit about seeing. I went to the third one, I think, and it was $25, and it is now, and that was up $5 from the previous year when it was $20.
And I remember people had a fit about that.
Yeah, and now it's at least $150 to get just a wristband. It's not one of the laminates.
It's
not one
inclusive.
Of the platinum badges. It's not one of the champagne room, you know. Dildo insertable things.
Yeah. It's not the coping device.
Right.
Yeah.
Not the coping. I guess it's cool if you're into that sort of thing, but if you're not, then it's just a big pain in the ass because, again, it's several thousand assholes that show up. This year, it's mild. It's interesting for us because another metal radio show called Tinnitus, Norwegian
out of
show.
Oslo.
Yeah. They're. Doing a Norwegian showcase, so they're bringing down a few bands, most notably 1349 and Enslaved. So that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Vice Magazine, who does have a metal feature over in, I know in Sweden and maybe some of the other countries, they're having a big party and a couple of bands like 1349 are playing that. So
Right. That's
going to be pretty fun.
That'll be the first time I've ever had a reason to go. And, luckily, Candlelight Records is actually being cool and kind of hooking us up sort of under the table to help us get in. So since we're like the local metal media here.
Yeah.
The thing is that I remember South by Southwest used to be a showcase for bands that were starting out to like break out and get signed.
Right.
And now it's just signed bands coming to play shows. You know,
exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense.
There's a couple of other fun events that do go on sort of clandestinely, which... make it mildly amusing. My Yard by Your Yard.
Yeah,
punk showcase that's all these shitty local bands that play. It's all the unsigned bands that couldn't get on.
Yeah, the busted by cops.
Yeah.
It's like, but it should be like busted X cops. Busted by cops.
And then, you know, some of the South Congress, one of the main cool drags down here is having, Joe's Coffee is having a music festival free bunch of bands play in their parking lot. So there's stuff like that going on. There is the South by Southwest Film Festival, which if you're into movies,
does have a lot of cool stuff.
Is really cool this year. But again, it's one of those things you got to pay out the dick to go see anything unless you know some people.
And
I know some people, so I won't be going to anything.
Well, that's always how it works.
That's
if you actually know somebody, you don't give a fuck.
That's
Heavy Metal in Baghdad, that movie that Vice actually made, plays on Thursday night at the Alamo downtown.
Cool.
That's about that band in Baghdad who they were like kind of like a speed metal band.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were actually had shows and stuff. But of course, you know, the local instigators as well as the local constabulary don't care for what they're doing. And so I think they ultimately had to like hide out in Syria and now they're living in Turkey. But that actually looks really interesting. There's a lot of heavy metal documentation going on these days. Everybody wants in on that pretty much since Metal, A Headbanger's Journey did something.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's good and bad because you do get a lot of interesting perspectives, but of course, it's only as good as the person who's doing it, mm-hmm. as far as their grasp of the music. I mean, we need to get on in on the anti-South by Southwest act and start a little thing called My Ass by Your Face, since we love that joke so much.
We'll play nothing but that Opeth album.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if anyone has actually approached Michael Ackerfeld and referred to that album as that. We need to troll him if he ever... I mean, I would never be at an Opeth show voluntarily, but you never know. We could be at a festival or something. Like, go up to him just like, oh, man, I love your work. My Ass, Your Face is the best album ever. Just kind of watch him like, huh. Oh, we don't have that joke here.
Yeah. But, so in honor of South by Southwest and the Tinnitus Showcase, we are going to inflict upon you 1349 and Enslaved.
That's right. Just wanted to introduce this one real quick. This song is I Am Abomination, but it's live in Montreal from 2006.
Oh, so, cool.
Because it's their live version is actually way better than the recorded version of it. I don't know what is up with those guys and their four-track recording techniques, but...
who knows?
Yeah.
Seems like a lot of bands are better live than on record. Really, I think I'm starting to think that metal bands shouldn't try to go for this finished pro recording thing. I think they should just
record live albums.
Live albums, because they invariably all play better live, and the songs sound better live than when they're worked over to death and played perfectly. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's. That's the conventional wisdom of why they have bands put out live albums. You know, it's like, oh, you know, you can hear all their stuff kind of with that live energy. And sometimes it's better than the recording and sometimes it's way worse. It just depends.
But, yeah. Well, in that aspect, the recording itself is the thing too. You know, if you're going to capture something live, the live recording needs to be great. But overall, the performances are generally more spirited.
And, right.
Unless they're all gay and on coke, which yeah. This might be.
All right, here we go. I am. I am.
I am. I am.
We're back. That was Enslaved from their very underrated album Eld with the song Alpha Blot. A, B, C, D,
It's my favorite kind of soup when I'm sick. I just get some Alpha Blot soup.
It's fitting for this edition of the show. Alpha Blot soup.
Warm and tomato-y.
And before that, I am Alpha Blot Nation. No, sorry. I am Abomination.
Oh, man.
I am Obomination. It's the democracy song.
I am Abomination!
From 1776.
Oh, we're fucked. We're so screwed. By the way, you guys are really lucky because as of last night, Agapornis was voting down that we do the show because we're both sick. And so you should feel very...
Well, I just don't care anymore. So it was more of a global, like, we're not going to do the show ever, but I decided to throw y'all a bone for this one.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens next week.
Well, yeah, so... just be glad that we're here. I was thinking I was going to have to do this alone and go, yeah, that was Alpha Blot.
And then over here is another joke that we're making with the fans and the bass.
What do you think, Mr. Hand?
I think it's cool.
I think you're a fat piece of crap. All right. What was I going to say?
How do we approach this other than... There was a big tour that just came through.
Right, right. Lucifer Over America, that was the kind of the tour of the season. I mean, Exodus and Goat Horror were out on the road. We went and checked that out, too. Mm-hmm. But seeing as how Exodus is now just a lineup full of ex-wrestlers, I really wasn't interested in that. Goat Horror was pretty cool.
Who was that thrash band that opened? Warbringer?
Warbringer.
Warbringer, they're pretty interesting. At least they got a good reaction when we saw them in San Antonio.
It's funny. Everybody,
there's this new thrash renaissance, and Earache is pushing it, and they have a comp that they sent us called Thrash Till Death.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it has bands like Warbringer and SSS and Municipal Waste, who is
DRI.
Becoming just a party band.
Yeah, yeah.
And a bunch of other stuff, but there's a whole slew of these neo-thrash bands out there. I'm giving up on wanting to know about people and bands because they invariably just are disappointments.
Yeah. Unless, of course, it's Belphegor. Those guys are something else.
Belphegor was awesome.
Yeah.
We chatted with those guys a little bit. They were pretty nice.
The Lucifer Over America tour was with Versifera, Immolation, Belphegor, and Rotting Christ. It was kind of a diverse lineup. We went and saw the show in San Antonio.
And Houston.
And Houston, yeah. And it was a good time. We're going to play songs from all the bands. Actually, Versifera has a new album out, so that's our band of the month. It was kind of a cool lineup because you had... Basically, a black metal band. You had a post-black metal band, which was Rotting Christ. You had...
a black death band.
Yeah, which was Belphegor, and then just a straight...
And Fishbone.
Yeah, yeah. And then you had Immolation, which, of course, are just, one of the most sophisticated death metal bands around.
Unless you're living in San Marcos, California, in which case Immolation's just a generic...
Yeah, yeah, I read that.
To some people.
I read that review. It was like that girl who said that Immolation was like boring at worst, generic at best. Yeah. I was like, ouch.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you all know how we feel about them here, so
yeah, we're not gonna make it any more of a deal than it already is.
It was a really good set. All the bands were really solid. As the bands got older, because like Belphegor has been around a little bit longer than Versifera has, and then of course Rotting Christ and Immolation have been around.
They're
for
both 20 years old this
but
year.
But you really see what. Wasting your 20 years of your life on this kind of music gets you, because you get really good at playing your instruments and you're playing for kids that are end up being as old as the band is.
Right.
And it's this weird dichotomy.
Yeah. Rotting Christ was interesting because they kind of played a whole span of their stuff because they hadn't ever really done an official U.S. tour. And they had the one thing that was cool about them, a lot of people felt like they were a little bit too accessible, mm-hmm. and I can see that argument. I thought they were good live. They're good musicians.
Very professional, very proficient.
And they had that really cool like MIDI playback going, so like all their keyboard stuff was just playing on a playback, and they didn't have a keyboardist or anything, but it really gave a good vibe, so... I liked it. I mean, I'd never seen them before, and I honestly really don't know a lot of their material. I know the old stuff, like Thy Mighty Contract and all that.
But yeah, we played the crap out of Triarchy of the Lost Lovers way back when that came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we kind of didn't like the one after that and kind of lost track of them. But
That was the Blindfolded Statue album.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can remember it being. But yeah, then they put out like, God, they put out like six albums after that. It was
Nah, it's only like three or four.
Three or four, yeah. But something. But
a lot.
We did pick up that that compilation of their material on Century Media.
Yeah.
And the thing, the coolest thing about it is it has a bunch of their old demo stuff.
Like, yes.
Sathana's Tedium, which is like fucking awesome. It's like Beharit. It's yeah. really, really raw. So we're going to play some of them. But right now we're going to go ahead and kick it off. This is Aversifera's... Excuse me. Yeah. This is the newest album from Aversifera.
I was watching the... I saw this... commercial yesterday for, it just was these two guys being interviewed. You didn't know what it was for. And it was just sort of way, you know, headshots. And they're like, yeah, you know, I got wounded and hit and, you know, I had this leg broken. I had 32 stitches put in. And then this one guy sticks up his arm and he's got like half a forearm and no fingers except for a nub right below where, right past where his thumb is, this kind of midpoint crease in your palm. And he's like, yeah, and I lost all this and half my tendons. And it turns out that they're lumberjacks. And the guy is like, but you just got to get out there like a man and keep sawing and cutting down trees. And it shows him with a, he's got a prosthetic hook holding onto the chainsaw, sawing down more trees. So.
This is real?
Yeah.
Oh my
it's called,
God.
It's a TV show called American Axemen. They're like just going for everything that is blue collar in America and showing the grit and glory in it of wow. cutting off half your own hand.
That's American. All right. So this is Aversifera with tracks off of Advent Parallax.
That was Seance in a Warrior's Memory, Viral Kinesis, and Serpent Recoil from Averse Sephira, off their album Advent Parallax.
That just came out on Candlelight, so thanks to Paula.
Almost a month ago today, I think the release date was the 12th, the 12th or the 14th or something.
Yeah, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. Aww. Well, thanks to Paula for hooking us up with that from Candlelight USA. We were talking about live albums and live bands. And
you really have to be on your game if you're going to do a live album, because I just got a hold of a backup copy of Celtic Frost live in San Diego from 2006.
There was never an official copy of that, though, but...
Still, somebody's,
Someone's backup
Someone's
copy.
Backup copy that got, found its way onto my computer. I don't know. I didn't do it.
along with the Jenna Hayes blowjob porn.
Exactly, yeah. That was specifically put there. To entice me to the ways of sin. What was very deliberate was the Genki Genki video. The octopus invades the...
No! I don't want to talk about that anymore.
Hurts. You have to be on your game when you're going to do a live album, because if you're not and you have one of these I got nothing moments, then it's just really going to be something that sticks with everybody forever. So to that end, in this Celtic Frost live recording, they're introducing Crypt of Rays, and it's a true I got nothing moment, because I think it's Martin gets on the vocals and says, "All right, San Diego, we're going to do a song now about Gilles de Rais. He's a French guy. We're going to take you into Crypt of Rays." And that moment is now captured in time.
Yeah, I can understand how that... See, we're lucky here on Metal Enema these days.
Because we speak English.
Well, yeah.
And we don't have to worry about this English as a second language thing, que tal tu diembe.
But we can also edit, we pre-record this so we can actually edit things if they don't come out right. I know what it's like, though, to be caught in that moment where you're like, ah, shit, I better just crash land this and start playing the song. Ross from the band Immolation is kind of like that, too. He'll get into that mode. Like, at the shows we saw, he's real conversational with the audience, which is cool. It endears people to the band, because he's kind of like, he's up there being like sort of a fan, mm-hmm. like everybody else. He's like, yeah, it's great to be here, and we're glad to see everybody again, and all the old schoolers and all that kind of stuff. He calls it all that. But then he'll say hilarious things like, "All right, we're going to take you back to the new album."
All the way back to a song you may never have heard of. This is
brand new from the past.
In fact, this one's not even available in the world yet. This is a song.
Well, yeah, they did play this one song called "The Condemned," which is off
the EP "Hope and Horror."
And I recall correctly, somebody was telling me that earlier on in the tour, he kept prefacing it saying, "You've never heard this. It's not available."
Yeah, but we're gonna play it.
The
anyway.
Distribution sucks on this, but apparently he abandoned that by the time they got to us, because they didn't preface it. They just played it.
Yeah,
it's a great song. We're gonna play it tonight. But the other thing is their drummer. Actually, I was talking with him, and we were kind of talking about the stage banner thing, and he went on to say that a few months before. He got on he was up on stage. He goes, "My mom, it's her birthday today. She's 76 years old." Apparently she was in the audience. He goes, mm-hmm. "I want to dedicate this next song to her. This is Whispering Death." And the rest of the guys in the band were just like, ooh. Oh. It's like, well, I just wanted to dedicate a song to her. I don't know. But yeah, so you gotta...
It's good that they're not Cannibal Corpse. It's like, "I want to dedicate this song to my mom, stripped, raped, and strangled."
No, wait, wait.
Oh, wait, wait, wait. I want...
Entrails ripped from virgin's cut. Yeah, oh, no, wait, wait.
Fucked with a knife. No. Hammer smash fate.
Mom, I told you I didn't want you to come to this. God damn it.
You always do this to me. Chopped in half.
Well, I'm going to dedicate a song from a different band to you. Oh, boy.
"Don't call me Whitey, nigger." This is our cover of Sly and the Family Stone.
See, I hear that song title, and it makes me think it's like one of those Johnny Reb songs,
Yep, but it's not.
But it's not. Go figure. So, man. I guess we're not going to see... There's no other tours really coming through anytime soon.
Well, there's Divine Heresy.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Thanks for fucking nothing. Thanks. I think, God, who's out on tour? It's going to be this weird tour, kind of that thrash revival thing you're talking about, because it's going to be Soylent Green and Toxic Holocaust, that San Diego band. I mean, I think Toxic Holocaust is the opening band, but I'll look that up and we'll talk about it in a minute. But we'll go ahead and finish up with this package that we got.
I don't care who's coming out, because there's all this shit cropping up on YouTube, like... there's some performances finally popping up from the Death Pestilence Carcass show from 1990.
Yeah.
No Carcass yet, but there's a lot of Pestilence stuff, which is really cool. So,
yeah, if you guys want to see some really cool sort of where Texas was ground zero for a lot of metal history, go to YouTube and look up Sean Sitka, S-E-A-N-S-I-T-K-A. Sean Sitka.
Or just look up Pestilence 90.
Right. Or Pestilence Houston. Yeah. You'll get to see a lot of cool stuff. A lot of stuff I've never seen, like interviews with Martin and Patrick Mamelli.
And there's a performance of Testimony of the Ancients from San Antonio with Martin Van Druin.
I finally got to see it.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't get to see it live, but at least I finally got to see it. That's the one thing Agapornis has had on me. He's like, well, I got to see the Testimony of the Ancients.
Yeah.
But then we both got to see them perform as Asphyx, which was really badass too. There is video of that, the Arena Metal meeting with Asphyx footage on YouTube as well. So check that out if you have a chance. All right, well, we're going to jump back into this. This is a song that it's not available anywhere. You know, it's poorly distributed because, you know, Listenable fuck things up. But, well, we're going to play it for you anyway. This is The Condemned from Immolation, Hope and Horror.
Just a memory. vuole sempre a te. Contra tirannide. Nascos ad eum est. Non fam recessi. Per me.
My goodness, boys and girls, that certainly was a lot of music we just listened to. That was Belphegor with Belphegor, Hell's Ambassador. Hi, good to see you. How's it going? Stop the killing in Darfur. Before that, the Goat Reich Flesh Cult from Belphegor, from the Goat Reich Flesh Cult. I can't really talk tonight. My nose is stopped up. Before that, Nemesis from Rotting Christ from Theogonia, which is their newest one. Before that, Non Servium, which is a classic from Rotting Christ from Non Servium. Before that, Passion Kill from Immolation from Shadows in the Light. And before that, The Condemned with... that was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hope and Horror. That was like the whole tour right there. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
So...
it means less talking for us.
Yeah, yeah. No, it comes out about... I timed it so it comes out about right. But, Rotting Christ actually... When in Houston, I think they did it both nights, but they closed with Non Servium at the end of the set. Mm-hmm. That was actually a really cool rendition of it. They really nailed it home. It was also kind of fun because that was like the last show of that tour.
And yet they made it sound like all the others. They
made it sound
all
more melodic and kind of rock.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think I would be spending a lot of time listening to their discography, you know, anytime soon. I mean, except for maybe some of their old stuff, but they did have a good energy live, and I liked them. Like I said, it was kind of fun because it was like the end of the tour, so everybody's kind of like really sort of going for broke and just sort of knocking off in places, and it was fun. It was a good time.
A lot of dicks out. It was kind
of
weird.
Yeah. Both nights, the bassist from Belphegor was like disappearing with chicks and then coming back a few minutes later looking very satisfied with himself, you know. It's like, I forget where I saw that, but there's some kind of representation of that. I want to say it was like an old Matt Groening cartoon, like Life in Hell or something, where it you know, shows like the aftermath of sex, and it only shows the guy standing there all smirking and the girl all, you know, kind of let down. It's like, you know. Or either that, or like there's like
it's the comedy tragedy mask,
right? Or like they had the little cartoon. I don't know if I made this up or if I saw it somewhere, but it's like two smiley faces, but one's unhappy and one's smiling, and like the unhappy one kind of glances over at the one that's smiling, and then goes bang, and knocks into him, and then the other one's upset, and then the sad one's now smiling.
Yeah, I think that's an old. That may be an old emoticon thing.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. I mean, those things kind of just knock around in your brain like a 22 bullet, and then you're then somewhere in there you think you thought of it, you know? Just like I invented shoes and breathing and orange juice. All right. God, what else have we got? Oh, yeah. New stuff. This is a band called Orsivus. They're from Sweden, and
they will sell no wine before their time.
Exactly. And they are coming out on Next Horizon Hiberica Productions, which is part owned by Necromorbus, who actually discovered this band and produced them. And he was nice enough to float us a couple of advanced tracks just so we could play it on the show.
Nice.
This is a song called Funeral Sermon of the Earth, and it's good and raw. Kind of reminds me of early Watain, but I think that's just by proxy because they have sort of the Swedish sound.
Everybody's doing Watain these days.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's doing the Watain album. Come on, baby, do the Sworn to the Dark. Well, actually, if you really want to get technical, it's like everybody's doing Dissection now. All right, but we'll go ahead and play them and see what we think.
Yeah.
That was the blind taste test portion of Metal Enema for tonight. If we didn't tell you who these bands were, you would have thought that that was tracks from Incantation, Blasphemy, and Watain. But you'd be wrong, because that was Dead Congregation doing Hostis Humani Generis by way of Incantation. Proclamation did Unholy Wine of Fortification by way of Blasphemy. And Orsivus by way of Watain did Funeral Sermon of the Earth.
Actually, that song from Proclamation, that's from their brand new album, Messiah of Darkness and Impurity, and the song was called Unholy Wine of Fornication, which all it does is make me think of Barry White.
That's what I said.
No, you said Fortification.
Oh.
Yeah. But it just makes me think of Barry White, like with some kind of night train variant going, oh, yeah. All three of those are actually fairly new. That Dead Congregation, that's a Greek band, which is interesting because they don't have as many of the Greek progressions as, say, Rotting Christ or Necromantia, but you can kind of tell. But
I don't think there's been a Greek band in a long time that's really come out and made any waves, so they'd be hard-pressed to have a Greek sound anymore. I think that original click of what we're talking about is kind of... that original Greek sound where the early bands like Rotting Christ, Necromantia, and
Verathron,
and even though they're Portuguese, Necromass, has a lot of similarities to those early seminal Greek bands.
Yeah, I mean, it came out on vinyl through Nuclear War Now Productions, so if you're interested in picking up a copy, you can get in touch with them. That guy always does really, really nice editions on vinyl. I think it comes with like a patch and a mun rag and a pterodactyl. Yeah.
Comes with a hat, a brooch, and a pterodactyl.
Ooh. So we do have a few more tracks for you. I'm sorry we're all nasally and coughing and kind of low wattage tonight. Agapornis didn't want to do the show at all. And by the way, I'm the Undertaker.
I'm Agapornis Epicac.
And you're listening to the Metal Enema on Solarfall Radio. So we do have some more songs for you.
I am Mucinex Consumiorum.
Yes. God, need to get some of that stuff.
Tuberculosis.
Lobosis.
Valdemar.
Tuberculosis Peabody.
That's right.
At your service.
BT Tuberculosis.
Beneath the tuberculosis. Nice. But we do have some, some older stuff now, kind of from the crypt. We're going to go ahead and unleash a track from the first album Paradise Lost put out, which was Lost Paradise.
Hey.
They just flipped it around. This is a song called Breeding Fear.
Yeah. CDs and CDs in the back. All right, good night.
We're back. That was Funeral Marches to the Grave from Thorn's Stigma Diabolicum compilation that was put out on Kirk Productions. Before that, An Ending in Fire from Order from Chaos, from Imperium, The Apocalyptic Visions. We send that one out to Bill Taylor from Immolation, because even though he wasn't in Order from Chaos, he kind of was part of that whole movement and then ended up rising from the ashes in Angel Corpse, which turned out to be a total fucking disaster.
Congratulations. This is the signpost to failure section of the show.
Yep. And before that, we had Paradise Lost with Breeding Fear, back when they were a truly cool band. That, you know, it's funny because I got in on that with that band on Gothic, which was their second album, which I really liked. I thought it was really cool and good, kind of just gloomy death album. But then everybody was like, oh, man, you missed the boat with Lost Paradise. You got to check that out. So, you know, once I did, I was like, oh, now I see the big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and from then they just cut their hair and started painting their fingernails, and that was the end of that. So, but it was really, speaking of,
at least we're not playing Wicked Innocence or,
oh god, fucking Wicked Innocence.
We should do a show to really piss people off and just have it be all the just the supremely C-listers, shitty bands,
yeah,
like Believer and
yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Every time you bring up Believer, there's always one dude in the room who's like, oh, those guys were good. Just because they were Christian doesn't mean they were no good.
They had some cool riffs. I'm not gonna lie about that. But overall, it's like,
yeah, no. For Christian death metal, I'll just listen to death. Yeah. Oh, boy. I was actually, when we were looking at that Sean Sitka thing, I ended up digging up some other, like, really old videos, and one of them was like from a public access show where they did a show about death metal. I mean, it was a Florida public access show, but it was like one of those well-produced sort of pseudo evangelical ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a whole video article on death metal, and it showed Glenn and Glenn Benton from Deicide and Dave Vincent from Morbid Angel back when they were still young and vital and ready to kill. And
yeah,
and it was weird because Glenn was still like kind of, you know, a little bit round faced and young and tripping on acid, clearly, but still hopeful.
Yeah.
And it's the way he was tripping on acid, you know, just he didn't have a voice like a gravel driveway, and you know, and he wasn't all leathery and losing his hair, and it was just like, oh man, I liked him so much better back then.
He had a big fresh cross burn on his
forehead.
Yeah,
it was all nice and black. And bubbly. Yep. And yeah, no, that was great. And it showed some footage of them playing. It showed some Morbid Angel footage. And then they tacked on the end, they tacked on one of Deicide's first ever video appearances, which was on a different public access show. They played
Amon.
Yeah, and they played Sacrificial Suicide, and they had the full-on sarcophagus-style armor.
Yeah, that was good.
That was amazing. So, yeah, YouTube yields a lot of classic stuff. So, I mean, if you're like, ah, fuck that stupid shit, I don't want to see someone's kitten, just type in the name of your favorite death metal band and you will reap the benefits. Trust me, it's really cool. It's like any other tool. It's like a hammer or a wrench or an alligator. You gotta just use it the right way, you know. But all right, and with that in mind, we're gonna play a couple of other old sort of other signposts towards doom.
Yeah.
We're gonna play something off of Clandestine from Entombed, which is their second album and fated to be kind of the crossroads between their golden years and their, you know, imminent decline.
Yeah,
this is probably the best song off the album. I'll tell a quick little story about this too. It was really weird because that album had this weird sort of stepchild status, because Lars Goran Petrov left the band after the first album. Mm-hmm. He was the vocalist. And then Nick A. Anderson, the drummer, did all the vocals on the second album, and they weren't all that great. And then they credited them to the bassist of Carnage, Johnny Dordevic.
Yeah.
And it was really weird because then they had Johnny Dordevic in the video,
yeah,
you know, and then he went out on the road and actually did the vocals, I guess, because he got into the band after they recorded the album or something. And it was, he didn't have a good presence live. I mean, he came off like a fucking, like some kind of Eastern European tool bag. He's up there. Okay, now here's the next song for you. I mean, it was like one of those old interviews with like the Scorpions, where they just had that really excited European just Twitter, you know. And then, so then, you know, they played the songs off the album, and it wasn't all that great. But then, LG Petrov rejoined the band, and then they went on another tour, just kind of a "Hey, we're back" kind of tour, and they played songs off Clandestine live, and it was fucking amazing. And we got everybody in the crowd, and me and a couple of my friends started screaming, "Re-record the album!" And we got a chant going because it was awesome.
Because I didn't see them that any of those tours. I had the I picked up the single for Clandestine,
mm-hmm.
and it was okay.
Yeah.
And then I picked up the album, and it was substantially less okay.
Yeah.
And then I just didn't even really want to go back and listen to Left Hand Path after that. So I quickly shuffled off into the trash heap somewhere. I fear that I never saw the magic that was Entombed.
Yeah, it was that one show that I got to see them, and they were pretty fucking amazing.
Because after that was the Columbia years when, you know, Helmet's second album came out, and then Wolverine yeah. Blues, and it was just like, oh, God, stop! And then the helicopters, and you know, and
Heartwork. And
exactly.
Really, and Heartwork!
Dominus's Rockabilly second album. Just, oh, Christ, why was... What fucking year was that? That was like 95. Was that 95? Yeah.
Fear, Emptiness, and Despair from Napalm Death. Oh, what a piece of poo. You know, and it was interesting, though, because that is the year also when Deicide came out with Once Upon the Cross,
mm-hmm.
which was a good album in its own right, but compared to all that Columbia shit, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like going, holy shit, I am so glad they released this album, because I was about to just give up. That was like the only thing that kept me going until I was suddenly able to get a lot more of the black metal imports right around that time. We started going to Houston, and then it was like, oh, thank God, you know, Oasis.
Yeah, I was like, oh, the Abscess album.
Oh, Typo Negative.
That's what I was going to talk about earlier. It was unlucky fucking blue collar people. And it ties into live albums. There's this legend up in Rochester, New York, about this live performance of, and I don't even remember the band. It doesn't really matter who the band is, but the drummer at the end stood up and went, yeah, and flung his drumsticks out into the audience and caught this poor unlucky bitch in the eye and popped her eye out, her left eye, which sucked because she was left-handed. And then the story goes on to say that she for some reason decided that she needed a chainsaw or something and slipped with a chainsaw, nearly cut half her left hand off, which sucked again because she was left-handed and a tattoo artist. So, yeah. So she had...
Didn't we meet a guy who actually had a tattoo from her?
Yeah.
And it wasn't really very
one
good at
real
all.
Very good. Poor lady.
Only in Rochester would that happen. It's like, yeah, the one-eyed, one...
One-eyed, one-horned, flying tattoo artist.
Who can't tattoo. Wow. Yeah, well, I guess if you're one of those types of people who collects weird artifacts of the world, that'd be like you go on a pilgrimage. Yeah, I'm gonna go to that one-eyed, you know, messed up hand tattoo artist. So she gave me a really bad exactly. tattoo, and I say, yeah, check it out. You know,
that's another I got nothing moment for the. You know, I'm sure that drummer is still every once in a while wakes up in the middle of the night. Why'd I throw the stick? Circle time machine thing.
Montage, yep. Alfred Hitchcock, you know.
He sees it leaving his hand.
See, maybe I'm a sicko.
Splitch!
Maybe I'm a sicko because if that had been me, I would have been like, yeah, I remember that time I put that chick's eye out. She didn't sue me or nothing. It was great. Yeah. And you go around and say,
and I did it in the hotel room.
All right. Well, that's about it for us. So we're going to go ahead and play this. This is Living Dead from Entombed.
Lost the fire that you've been searching for. All the time you tried. Peyton killed him.
Shadow part of me, sent you to sleep to be alive.
And that was the Signpost to Death / Actual Death section of the show. That was, in the order we played them, that was Entombed with Living Dead off of Clandestine, poopy album. That was Pestilence doing Testimony, which originally was called Testimony of the Ancients, off of Testimony of the Ancients, poopy album. Poopy album because that's the album Martin Van Drunen left on, and it was such a downer and a shit sandwich after, again, seeing Martin Van Drunen live doing Testimony of the Ancients before that album came out, and I was like, oh, it's going to be such a cool album, and then he left the band, and I was like, oh, Patrick Mamley on vocals, they didn't even get somebody else, could be okay, got it. And I just had that same 1991 production on it, which,
yeah,
oh, it's like that in the first Gorguts album. And I was like, oh, oh, he rode in the boat. The water was cold. You fell in. Yeah. You couldn't swim. And Testimony of the Angels was like that because every other song. Every other song was this
little instrumental,
crap fucking thing.
It was all MIDI. It was all...
Oh,
it was
so
really annoying.
Angry.
But I mean, but they had a few songs in there that were good, and if you
kinda, I don't even remember anymore, because
if you kind of close your eyes, you could still imagine, you know, Martin Van Drunen doing it, and then it was all right, but...
Yeah, he was trying to approximate too hard.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Because they knew. Oh, we got rid of the man,
yeah.
You know, this
got
is going to be
voice,
a fucking failure.
Going to be able to, yeah. I mean, and again, it's amazing to me to like have seen Asphyx play and go, holy shit, that dude still sounds exactly the same.
Yeah, you know? Even Hail of Bullets is fucking awesome because
yeah.
It sounds, you know, it's MVD, dude.
MVD, man. That's why we made him the band of the month a couple months ago. All right, I'm the Undertaker.
I'm Agapornis Epic Sick.
Yeah,
and this was Sick, Sick, Sick.
Yeah. 666 live album. I got nothing.
Exactly. We got nothing tonight.
This is going to be our show about the time that we were sick and then we played songs that had nothing to do
and
with...
And talked about live albums.
I got nothing. All right. Good night, everybody. All right, take care. Blue collar all the way. Chop, chop.